Attorney General Josh Stein, thank you so much for joining me. You sent a letter to U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen looking for information on election security in North Carolina. This, of course, comes on the heels of last week's indictments of 13 Russian nationals and 3 Russian businesses for interfering in the 2016 election. What are your fears specifically regarding the 2018 election? And you know, that election is coming up fast, so is North Carolina ready?
We hope so. And what I want to ensure is that we are ready and that we have secure elections infrastructure so that there is no hostile acts by foreign powers or anyone who wants to interfere with our elections. There is nothing more fundamental in our democracy than the government reflect the will of the voters. When we go to vote, we need to, one, have the right to vote. We have to make sure our vote means something, that the system is designed to ensure we have an equal voice, and we have to know that the outcome of the election is legitimate. We have to have faith in that. Otherwise, in close elections, the losing side isn't going to accept it, and we just can't go there. Yet we now know that in the 2016 election, it was the unanimous view of our intelligence agencies that the Russians attacked our election infrastructure and tried to create division through social media.
And those indictments were pretty specific about some of the attacks that occurred here in North Carolina. What did you think when you read that?
Well, I was dismayed. I was unhappy to know that they were out there peddling on the internet false stories about election fraud here in North Carolina, because what they actually want to achieve is to create discord, to create a loss in faith in the legitimacy of our elections infrastructure so that people won't accept the outcome. Russia would like nothing more than for our country to be torn apart, and we cannot allow that to happen. And that's why I wrote the Department of Homeland Security. This is an all-hands-on-deck problem. We need the cooperation of the federal government, state government, and local governments, the county boards of elections. We all have to be working together to do everything in our power to protect the computer systems and the elections infrastructure from any outside influence.
Is President Trump taking this issue seriously enough, do you think?
I don't think. I mean, he has repeatedly said that the Russians didn't attack, although this week he did say that they did. His administration seems to, you know, the National Security Director was in Europe last week saying that the Russians certainly did it, and we have to do everything we can to stop it from happening again. But the fact of the matter is you have to impose consequences on hostile acts. And when malicious actors try to undermine our democracy, they need to be held accountable. Congress, in a bipartisan fashion, passed sanctions against Russia for its known activities in 2016, and yet the president has chosen not to implement those sanctions for reasons I don't understand.
So I know you're seeking information from Homeland Security, but if you don't get a sufficient answer from them, what steps do you think that you can take?
Well, we have a very dedicated State Board of Elections here in North Carolina. The staff is working hard, working diligently to make sure that our computer systems are fully up to date. And I will work with them, and we will work together with the county boards to do everything in our power to protect our infrastructure. That's why I asked the Department of Homeland Security, are they aware of vulnerabilities of our elections infrastructure, whether it's at the state level, the county level, or with any of the private contractor vendors that counties use? There's one company that has contracts in 21 counties in North Carolina that the intelligence agencies disclosed that the Russians hacked. We need to make sure that whatever happened there didn't affect North Carolina and certainly doesn't affect North Carolina going forward.
You know, I asked you about whether you thought President Trump was taking this seriously. What about North Carolina's congressional leaders, senators, and state legislators, and the governor?
Well, I don't really want to necessarily comment on those folks. I mean, what I care about is that we all work together collaboratively going forward and do everything in our respective powers to protect our elections. It is absolutely core to our democracy, and we can't accept any other outcome.
Do you think listeners should feel confident heading to the polls in May or November?
I think so, but if we can get the right information from Homeland Security, then I'll be able to speak with a whole lot more confidence.
Switching gears just a bit, you had a chance to meet with Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to argue against drilling off of North Carolina's coast. How did that meeting go?
It went well. He came to Raleigh at the governor's invitation, and I met with him, with the governor, and a number of people from the coast, including business folks, fishermen, other folks who were directly impacted should offshore drilling occur. And by the way, this was a bipartisan group of people. This issue about offshore drilling, it's not a Democratic or Republican issue. This is about what is in the long-term interest of North Carolina's economy, North Carolina's ecology. We have tens of thousands of jobs that are dependent on our healthy, beautiful shore. And if a Deepwater Horizon spill happened off of our coast and then got into our estuaries, killing the fisheries, it would be generational damage. And we can't afford that risk. And so we made all those arguments. Everybody around the table made those arguments to the secretary. He heard them. And we're just going to keep pushing. And it's clear that in terms of what you asked earlier about what other elected officials can do, one thing the secretary said was, I want to know how this is going to impact the state. And clearly it would hurt our tourism and fisheries-based economy. And what are the views of the local people? And he specifically said that our congressional delegation is split and that our U.S. senators are not on record opposing this. They're for offshore drilling. And so if your listeners share my concern about the poor wisdom of allowing offshore drilling off North Carolina's coast, I urge them to contact their U.S. senators and congressperson and let them know that they want them to join the chorus and the majority view that this is not a good idea.
And it's your position that if North Carolina is not exempted, that you're going to go a legal route with that?
Absolutely. I will do everything in my power to protect our shores and all the jobs and all the livelihoods that depend on it.
Okay, one more question. I'm getting a chance to speak with Congressman Patrick McHenry tomorrow, and a bill he sponsored that passed the U.S. House has drawn lots of concerns about payday lending in North Carolina. Where do you stand on that bill?
Well, payday lending is a devastating industry that puts struggling working folks on a debt treadmill that they can't get off. I mean, the typical person who gets a payday loan of $300 or $400 ends up having to renew that loan 6, 7, 8 times. And so at the end of the day, they're paying thousands of dollars just for that $300 or $400 loan. The APRs on those, the annual percentage rate, is upwards of 500%, 400 to 500% APRs. It's loan shark stuff. We successfully ran those payday lenders out of North Carolina because our law is clear: a maximum of 36% interest rate on consumer loans. What I am gravely concerned about Representative McHenry's bill is that it will preempt our laws by allowing payday lenders to join with banks and essentially rent that bank charter so that they are then exempt from our state consumer protection laws. That would be absolutely wrong, a huge step backwards for what we've accomplished for North Carolina consumers.
Now, I know he says that the bill doesn't do that. So where does your concern stem from?
Well, because all the analysis I've read of the bill is that it does do that, that it allows payday lenders to essentially rent a state bank charter from some other foreign state and then import those interest rates into North Carolina, thereby rendering ineffective our consumer protection laws. So if he is on record that it doesn't do that, then he shouldn't have any problem with making changes to the language to ensure that it doesn't accomplish what everyone thinks that it does.
All right. Well, Attorney General Josh Stein, thank you so much for joining me.
I appreciate your interest. Thanks.